to our 9:15 service. Man, y'all did such a good job getting here early, except for Matt Malone. Matt, where are you at? I know you're coming in late today. All right. Oh, there you are, Matt. Thanks for showing up, 9:30. Really grateful for you all. Thanks for coming early. I want to welcome all the first-time guests today. Thanks, Garrett. Jesus loves you. Nice shirt. I'm going to keep talking for a second while I get dressed over here. That'd be great. Can you hold this for a second? I want to welcome all those who are joining us online for our service. I know many people will choose to check us out online before they ever step into this service. And so thanks for joining with us today. And I look forward to meeting you hopefully in the weeks ahead. And I'm just going to roll here. All right. Good job, Garrett. Thank you. All right. And he is the MVP around here. And man, does a great job. Hey, I want to share with you a couple things. First, go with me to 1 Peter. And as you're turning there, I'll bring you along on a couple things happening today. First thing is, right after this service, we're having an interest meeting for our new Denver campus. All right? And so that will take place in the Connecting Point room right here. It'll be about a 15, 20-minute meeting for anyone who is sort of like lives on the west side of the lake or the south side of the lake of Lake Norman and in that area that continually drive over here. We're starting a congregation over there. Chris Litton, who you saw baptized this morning, is leading that congregation. He'll preach regularly there. I'll be out there some. But he is gathering anyone who might be interested at all. It doesn't lock you in long term. We're having an interest meeting, and you may be someone who's like lives over there and you're all in and you're committed. You might be someone who's willing to serve for a year over there to help get everything rolling with kids ministry or whatever. So if you're interested at all, right after this service in the Connecting Point room, we'll have a core team interest meeting for the Denver campus. Second thing I want to tell you about is something happening in September that we're doing. One of the some of the areas that we really want you to connect in here are serving and community. And you'll be talking about more of those things later at the end of the service. Stuart will tell you what we're doing with our serving, our volunteers, and the core team rally we're doing next Sunday night. And again, on fall kickoff, we'll have a community group connect for you to connect in community. Those things are very vital. Something that's really important is for you to grow deeply in theology. And one of the things I'm really excited about that we're doing, Pastor Matt Stewart, who just is our resident theologian here, he's our pastor of teaching and care, he's beginning with our church what we're calling Christ Community Institute. The Institute is a two-year sort of theological training endeavor for our church. In the future, we'll be able to pair that with seminary training for those who are called to ministry. But largely, this is for the church to grow deeper in theology, deeper in understanding. It'll be a two-year track. It'll be semester-based, 8 weeks and 8 weeks, 8 weeks and 8 weeks. And we will begin that September 12th, I believe. Anyway, more information will be coming. But if you are interested in being a part of that, it'll be on Sunday nights. And you can just attend a class and grow deeper. Matt's going to be leading a lot of those things. Some of our pastors are going to be. It's going to be really awesome. And so you can find out more information on christcommunity.com/institute. All right? There you go. Those are two things. You'll be hearing more information about the Institute later on. But we are in 1 Peter chapter 5. We have two more weeks to go. And then I'll begin a new series on fall kickoff around the purpose, the purposes of the church. And so let's finish 1 Peter chapter 5 today and next week, and then we'll dive into a new series beginning August 29th. Today we're looking at verses 1 through 7 in 1 Peter chapter 5, and Peter writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given it to us through the man Peter, by your Spirit. Lord, thank you for what it means for us today as we seek to be a faithful congregation who exalts Jesus, who preaches your word, who flourishes here in Lake Norman and in Charlotte. God, would you speak to us today? Would you help us to even understand more deeply the church and what you want for us and what you want from us? Lord, move as only you can move today in the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. This past spring, Marcy wanted a vegetable garden for in our backyard. And I know many of you have been to our backyard before, and so you know what our yard looks like. Our yard has a lot of trees in it, and so there's a ton of shade. Like, there's not a great place to put a vegetable garden. And really, there's three things you need when it comes to gardens, right? You need water, you need sunshine, and you need attention. You need to give it attention. And so I scouted out a place on our back deck where the sun shines. We found a little corner, and we picked up some raised beds, thanks to my friend Kyle Stevenson, who's here today. Picked up some raised beds and found a corner and put them up there. And so she made the garden that she wanted in the right spot. Now, we had two of these things down. We had sunshine down because we found the good spot for that. We had like water down. I mean, we could water it pretty easily. The one thing we didn't have down is attention. And so we have this dog that is our dog. It is not just my dog, despite Marcy's thing. It's our dog. We agreed to the dog. And I made very, very much clear that this was going to be our decision and our dog. And so it is ours. All right. Marcy really doesn't like our dog. Because our dog found out that in those raised beds, there's like soft soil. And underneath that soft soil is cool ground. And so the dog would consistently, when we weren't there and paying attention, would hop in the beds and dig her spot out. And by nature, she would just tear up all the things that Marcy put in there. And so the first time it happened, she was frustrated. She's like, your dog, our dog. And so I'd go back there and she'd patch it back up. And sure enough, there were certain vegetables that were not going to make it no matter how hard we tried, because the dog kept getting in because we weren't able to give it the attention that it needed for it to fully flourish as a garden. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we come to a shift in Peter's letter. A shift in the attention and the direction he's talking. And just as you think Peter is wrapping up his letter, he moves to give a few more final commands before the end, before the conclusion. And his commands are aimed at helping the church flourish. And he talks specifically here to church leaders and church members. And he talks about the need for healthy leadership and healthy fellowship in the local church. He speaks directly to the need for humility in church leadership and its members in order for the church to flourish. So today's main takeaway really is sort of birthed out of one of our summer interns, Thor Anderson, who's watching this morning. Thor he left us this past week. He's back at Boyce College getting ready for his semester, but he did a phenomenal job this summer helping us with sermon stuff. And he gave me this main point this week that I've shortened. But his main point said this: considering Christ's suffering and future return, elders must shepherd God's people in humble submission to Jesus, while members humbly submit to their leadership. For the sake of shortening that a little bit, here's the main idea. Churches flourish when elders model humble servitude and members practice humble submission. Churches flourish. We want to be a flourishing church. And since the day one of me coming here 4.5 years ago, just under 5 years ago, God has given us great flourishing because the church was at a particular place where they were willing to follow leadership. And since then, we've we've tried our best to be humble leaders of this local body. And so let's look into 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 7, and see what Peter has to tell us today. He says this, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Notice he describes himself three ways here. He says he is a fellow elder. He is a fellow pastor of the Lord. He is a witness to the sufferings of Christ. So he saw the sufferings of Christ Jesus. And he's a partaker in the same glory that is going to be revealed. So he is one of us. Peter brings himself down to the church's level and says, "Listen, I'm not just an apostle. I am one of you. Like, I am with you in this journey." And Peter so brings himself down, exemplifying this kind of humility. "I'm a fellow elder. I'm a witness to the sufferings of Christ Jesus. I am a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed." So what exactly is an elder? Many of us maybe have heard of pastors or shepherds or elders. Let me just give you sort of the lowdown on what an elder is. The term elder is used to describe those who are called to lead the churches in the New Testament. Today we call them pastors largely or elders. This term is used synonymously with other terms like overseer in the Bible. So when you hear the term pastor or elder or overseer, those are all synonymous term. So an elder is a pastor, and a pastor is an elder. One important thing to note about the pastors or elders in the local church is that they are spoken of in the plural form throughout the New Testament. Appoint elders in all these churches, Acts says. Across the way, Peter and Paul addresses the elders in churches, those who hold authority over the church. The New Testament never mentions a specific number of elders for each congregation. It depends really on the need, and each local church to decide how many elders they need. What we do know are elders are called to shepherd the church, and to shepherd faithfully. This means that there is a multiplicity of church leaders in places in each of the local churches that we see in the New Testament. Even today, churches have various different pastors. And how many that is, it varies from church to church. As you can imagine, having godly elders matters much in the church. If you're going to join a church, you want to make sure that their pastors are godly people, right? It's hard to follow a church where you don't have trust. You want to know that these people who are leading the church are following Jesus faithfully. And Peter gives a command to these elders around their own faithfulness. The command to the elders Peter gives is this: shepherd God's people. Shepherd God's people. There's much in Peter's exhortation here. Notice what he says: shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Three things we see just in this one sentence. The church is to be shepherded by elders. Elders shepherd. Elders fulfill many functions as the God-called shepherds of the church. When you think of shepherds, you think of those who are tending to sheep, who are with the sheep, who know each of the sheep, who are there to protect and guard and guide the sheep, who teach the sheep, who feed the sheep. And so some of these things that we've kind of categorized as importance are shepherds lead under the authority of Christ. Later on, he says, the chief shepherd is coming back. And so we don't shepherd is those who are the chief shepherds. No, Jesus is the chief shepherd of the church. I joke that, not really joke, it's serious. Jesus is our senior pastor. He is our senior elder. He is the one that we are seeking after. I am the lead pastor here. That means I'm setting vision and direction and sort of overall leadership, but our other pastors are frequently on the stage. They're frequently meeting with you. We have staff pastors, and we have now three lay pastors who are congregational pastors, who are men just like you in the workforce, but God's called them out to shepherd in this church. We have others who are in training still, and then even still in this room, there may be others who've wrestled with a call to ministry, a call to pastor, and you just have never thought about it. You've never seen a way into it. Well, things like the Christ Community Institute gives you a way to be a lay pastor here. Our heart is that we would have one lay pastor for every 50 member families. so that we can adequately shepherd this local body. So we lead under the authority of Christ. We're to teach the word of Christ. We're to care for the body of Christ. And we're to model the character of Christ before you. We joke that we don't take ourselves too seriously. We want us to be approachable. We don't take the positions of high and lofty people. We want to be humble and among you and with you. And we want you to know, I mean, like, my calling first and foremost is to be a Christian husband and father, and then pastor. We want to model the character of Christ, because the church is to be shepherded by elders. But secondly, the church belongs to God, not the elders. He says, shepherd the flock of God. This is God's people. You are God's people, not ours. What we do is a stewardship. We should never confuse a stewardship with ownership. It is a wonderful gift when God calls us to shepherd and train and disciple and invest and move us towards spiritual health and spiritual life. It's, quite honestly, it's humbling. We're called to humble servitude in the local church by God. God called us out, and God's called me here to serve in this role. We serve God, and we serve as under-shepherds of the chief shepherd. This is what I'm called to do, and it is a weighty calling. But the church belongs to God, not the elders. And third, the church is to be protected by elders. Shepherd the flock of God, that is who? Among you. And so we are to seek to protect this flock. We are to watch out for your soul, because we will give an account to God for your soul. And so we're to protect and guard you, guard your theology and guard direction and your spiritual decisions and help you not to stay in sin. This is why I preach the word, and I often maybe step on toes, because I'm called to preach the word and guard you. And if you feel like you're being poked, it's because I'm intentionally preaching the word and the Spirit of God is poking you, because this is what we do. Acts 20. 28 through 31 says, pay careful attention, Paul says, to yourselves and to all the flock, speaking to the elders, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. So we, as elders, are called to be alert, to be ready, to be watchful, to keep watch. I mean, this past week, our pastors talked about two specific instances in our house, in our own church, that had to do with adultery. People who would be members here, and it breaks our heart. We have to address things like addictions and pornography and gossip and love of money and all kinds of issues. And like, you think those conversations are easy to call out? Hey, you want to have lunch? Let's talk about a few things. Because we're called to shepherd, to protect the flock. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. That's the command from Peter. And he says, exercising oversight. What kind of oversight do we exercise? Well, spiritual oversight. We exercise practical oversight. There's tons of you who come to us seeking wisdom and guidance on decisions in life or whatever, and we give that. We also exercise financial oversight. We want to be good stewards of the dollars that are given here and that are going out. I mean, here in a couple of weeks, we're going to release a new budget that's going to be a pretty big increase than we've ever had in my last 4.5 years here. Why? Because our church has been incredibly generous, and we're about to launch a new congregation, and we're on mission together, and we believe God's calling us to take some big steps. And you know, financial situations in churches often cause major divisions. And we want to be good stewards of my giving, of your giving, of senior adult giving, and little children giving. We want to be good stewards to exercise financial oversight in wise ways. So with what attitude are we to exercise this oversight? Peter explains it in three ways. He says, first, willingly. Notice what he says. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not having to be like convinced or like, hey, you got to do this, because if you don't do it, they're going to think you're an idiot. They're going to think you're a fool. They're going to think you're terrible. And you're begrudgingly doing something. No, he says, That is not the right attitude of pastoring. Do it willingly as God would have you. Do it willingly as a servant of the Lord. He says not only willingly, but eagerly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Don't do it for the wrong motives. Don't do it because you're going to get some sort of fame out of it or applause out of it. No, do it eagerly. Like, what a joy it is to shepherd this body of believers. What a joy it is to be called by God to exercise oversight here, to care for your souls, to lead you, to counsel you, to encourage you. What encouraging opportunity there is to shepherd God's people. So don't do it in a way that's selfish or for shameful gain, but eagerly. The third thing he says, to do it humbly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. You know, I'm a pretty driven leader, and one of my biggest fears is my drivenness. I'm an Enneagram 3, so it's like an achiever. And one of my constant wrestles is to feel the growth of the church on Sundays and attendance and in membership. And to feel like that success, when the Bible gives us a whole different way of counting when it comes to making disciples. One of my biggest fears is that we'll grow large but be small in our faith and small in our theology and small in our understanding of the gospel and small in our evangelism and small in our generosity. And I got to make sure that I'm going, what matters most is that we are building people to be healthy disciples of Jesus. Not just celebrating growth on Sundays, but celebrating disciple making. And I can't let my own personality to be an achiever dominate our team. I don't want to be a domineering leader, but I want to be an example to the flock of one who can make that confession knowing that the church will show me a lot of grace. And I want the pastors to know that's a wrestle of mine so they can know where to hold me accountable and call me out on it. And I want to know that for your sake. If you're ever like, oh, Ronnie sure has gotten a big head up there, you can say, hey, man, I sense a little pride in you. I want that as your elder. I want you to speak into my life because I want to receive that in humility. This whole time Peter's been writing, it's like he's been chewing on Old Testament writings in Israel, in Isaiah and Ezekiel. As Peter writes, it's like he's got Ezekiel 24 in his mind right now. In Ezekiel 24, in the Old Testament, they had elders. Elders were the older folks who led the churches, who led the people of God. And in Ezekiel 34, God sort of swats these elders of Israel who have been mistreating the people of God. He just goes after them and just calls them out. The shepherds in Israel had become corrupt. And listen to what he says in verses 1 through 6. He says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, exclamation point. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or to seek for them. Peter knows this reality from Ezekiel 24 that God condemned the wicked shepherds. And now he writes to the elders in the New Testament, don't be like those guys. Don't be those domineering guys. Serve the Lord. See, Peter knows the weight of accountability elders of God's people will bear. Stricter judgment, double accountability. They'll be doubly accountable. We will give an account before God for your soul. So you must have good elders, and your elders must be good men. We believe that strongly. Why? Because Peter gives us the answer. Look right there. It says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Peter comes again to the end of days, to the sort of eschaton, the end time salvation. And he says, here's the goal. Your faithfulness as an elder. That you would understand that what's most important, that you would be faithful to shepherd God's people as best you can. He comes to the last days when Jesus will return. And we're reminded of that prize together. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul charges us. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we do it to receive an imperishable wreath, he says. Olympians run to win a crown that will perish, made of celery and pine leaves. But we run a better race, a race with a better crown, an imperishable one, one that will be given and placed on the head of the faithful elders at the end of time, and one that will be given and placed on the head of the faithful members. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Again, we're talking about faithfulness in life and faithfulness into death, whatever that death means. And in this context, we're talking about suffering. So I'll say to our staff pastors and our congregation elders and the three others we have in training right now that this is a weighty calling, a great responsibility, and a great accountability. And if you are called to this, then love Christ deeply. Love his word devotedly. And love his church patiently, seeking to do good and honor Christ in all that you do. Because this matters in a church that's going to flourish. Healthy church leadership matters. Healthy church governance matters. We want to be those who allow the flourishing of the Lord. Now, Peter continues. He turns his attention to the younger in verse 5. He says, likewise, you who are younger. Now, who are the younger? We don't really have a great clarity. A few options are, it could be younger elders. It could be the younger people in the church. It could be the whole church as a whole. What we know is he's not speaking directly to the elders at this point, but another group in the church. Many believe that he is speaking to the church as a whole, but regardless, it's beneficial for all of us. And this is his command to the younger. Be subject to God's leaders. Be subject to God's leaders. The church is to be marked by humble submission to elders. Earlier, Peter spoke to the submission of citizens to government, to slaves to masters, or employees to employers, to wives and husbands to the Lord. And now he turns it to the church. He brings that principle to the church and said, God has given you leaders to lead you in all seasons, and you need to trust them, especially in seasons of suffering. And I try to think about a clear way of explaining that. And here's one way. Right now, and Jeff talked about this earlier, right now, the Taliban are invading cities in Afghanistan. There are many brothers and sisters of Christ in some of these cities who are hiding. Several house churches right now have been scattered. One city that's on the news right now has two secret congregations who have been worshiping together for the last 5 years every Friday, made up of two different tribes who have never been known to get along until, of course, they met Jesus. And Jesus brought them together by the gospel. And reconciliation has come. And some of our North Carolina Baptist missionaries evacuated this city last week, and the city is under siege at this moment. Church members are hiding right now in attics and other homes. Basically, they will be the first targets. If they are caught, they will be killed, their wives forced to marry Taliban men, and the children will be taken to Taliban camps to be raised there. And do you know who will feel the weight of this first, and the responsibility of this the most? The pastors of these congregations. The pastors will feel the weight of this. They will be sought out first. Who are your leaders? They received letters already. They will want to protect their church. The church will naturally look to them for leadership. But in that time, faithfulness to Jesus and Jesus alone will be all that matters. And the church will choose to watch their leaders. Now, I know that I've only been pastor here just short of 5 years. So I don't assume that you all are to the point where you're willing to trust my leadership or the leadership of any of our parents. Some of you have only been members here for less than a year. and you're still getting to know us. I don't want to presume that you're in a place where you're really ready to just suffer for Jesus with us or trust us. But I want to earn your trust. I do hope in time that you will see by our example and by our attitudes and by our care for you and our own, the way in which we go through hard times and go through suffering. We hope that in time you will learn to trust us, because just as church leaders are called to humble servitude, church members are called to humble submission. Notice the humility is the key point of this whole passage. I say these things to you because I never want there to be a time where you sit in disagreement with us. If there's ever disagreement, we would ask that you would come talk to us, that you would come sit down with us, that you would come explain to us, that we might hear you out. Churches divide all the time over disagreements and divisiveness, and we want to be a church that is unified as best we can. Why? Because humility matters, and we want to defer humbly to you, and you want to defer humbly to us, because Jesus modeled humility in the purest way, and humility is to be that which marks the believer. Consider verses 5 through 7. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. See, there was a season in my life where I owned a lot of sweater vests. You're like, where's this going? I had like 7 of them, and I wore them all the time. Matt remembers. I wore them all the time, late 2000s, they were really in style, I think, for a, 28-year-old man. I mean, I was serious. I wore sweater vests all the time, and I was frequently made fun of for owning a lot of sweater vests. I no longer own sweater vests, thanks to my wife throwing them all away. But in a silly way, sweater vests marked me. It was a joke with me. I was marked by what I wore. Now I'm mostly a khaki pant and boat shoe guy. And that marks me. What marks you? Philippians 2:3 reminds us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Humility is to be the mark of the church. It's to mark elders, it's to mark members, it's to mark us. Peter gives 3 charges to the church. Humility should define our relationship with one another, he says. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Humility should define our relationship with God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under God for who he is. Humility leads us to trust the Lord with our whole life, casting our cares, our anxieties on him. Humility to one another, humility to God, bringing all of our life and all of our future under his control. 3 charges to the church, but each one of them are followed by 3 incredible truths. He says, God gives grace to his people. Clothe yourself with humility, all of you, toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He quotes Proverbs 3 there. So God gives grace to his people. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. God exalts his people. There's a payoff to living lives of humility. God cares for his people. Notice, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What a beautiful truth. God cares for you. Man, woman, husband, wife, daughter, son, young child, teenager, confused college student, whoever you are, God cares for you. God cares for you. Bring all your anxieties to him. What a promise we have for being faithful church members in this life. Therefore, church membership is so important. At Christ Community, we are unapologetically insistent about you moving into the membership process. We don't like to let people live in between churches. Why? Because you become like a sheep without a home, kind of bobbing around from here to there. Many of you have moved here from California or New York or New Jersey or Florida or wherever in the last year, and you're still trying to figure out if this is your home. Some of you have been here and we're your church home for a long time, but you've never locked arms in membership here. I mean, the New Testament is clear. Elders know their sheep. that is among them, and the sheep know their elders. There is clear biblical truth to church membership. When you don't lock arms, you live in between, you become like a sheep without a home. You miss out on using your spiritual gifts in the lives of others. You miss out on sharing and doing life with other believers. You risk being tempted more and more when you're outside of a church. You risk disengaging altogether from church. So many things can happen. It's often the case that in the seasons of in-between churches and in-between sins and in-between Sundays, the dog can creep into the garden, mess with the soil, and try to tear up the work of the gardener. And we don't want to let that happen. So we encourage you to step into Growth Track, to meet with a pastor, to talk about your issues. We are very intentional about where you're coming from. Where is your church hurt? Or what happened when you left? Or how can we serve you now? What's the next step you need to take? We're very patient, and we want to help you take your next step here at Christ Community. So we really want to help you. One, because we, if you're here today and you're watching online and you consider us your pastors, then we have a responsibility to help you before the Lord. And there's a need in your soul to have us in your life. And so we want to encourage you, because all this matters. Why does this matter to us? Because we serve the chief shepherd, the one who came to find you and find me. You see, the promises of Ezekiel 34 is fulfilled in Jesus. Listen to this. Ezekiel 34 continues in verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, and when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring them back, the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. See, God has indeed come to find his sheep. He's come in the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's come to convict you of your sin. He's come to save you, to join you with the community of believers to live life with until our very last breath or until he returns, whichever comes first. And we owe all of our life to him. God has shepherded us. Do you know him as your shepherd? Do you know him as Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you living as a good sheep under the chief shepherd's leadership? Or are there areas of sin in your life that you need to repent of? Are there secret sins that you need to confess? Is there angst in your heart towards membership because you had a bad church experience in the past and you just quite honestly don't trust people? Whatever it is, maybe God's asking you today to meet with a pastor, to take a response card and check the box, talk with a pastor about membership, or to take your next step. What is it? Let's take that to the Lord together and surrender it. Will you bow with me? Do you know Jesus today? If not, give your life to him. Confess him as Lord. Is there hurt in your heart toward previous church experience? Maybe it's time for you to surrender it to the Lord. Are you called to ministry? You've wrestled with a call to pastor. Maybe today's the day to surrender that to the Lord and talk with a pastor. In what way is God asking you to take a next step here? Maybe it's to join in membership. Maybe it's to join up for serving. Maybe it's for salvation. Maybe it's for baptism. Maybe it's for ministry or mission. Are you at a posture where you can just surrender it right now? Jesus is one of the pastors here. On behalf of the other pastors, we're called to shepherd with you as the chief shepherd in view. Lord, may our lives model you in every way. Please, Lord, we ask that you would raise up other faithful and qualified men to be pastors and elders here in this congregation. Would you protect and guard our pastors as we seek to honor you in our leadership? Jesus, I pray for our members. Help them to grow in trusting me and our other pastors as we lead here. I pray they would submit to the leaders you've put over them and seek humility in this faith family. If there would ever be an issue, Lord, they would come and address it with one of us personally. I pray against anyone who would repeatedly show an unwillingness to be led, for that demonstrates such a lack of humility which you oppose. That goes for our own pastors and elders as well, and myself. Jesus, finally, I pray for all of us that we would live lives marked by humility and togetherness as your people. God, would you protect us and would you grow us? Would you multiply us? Would you care for us? May we become more and more like you in our discipleship. May we win others to you in our evangelism. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing an old hymn called I Surrender All. The question for you today is, what do you need to surrender before the Lord today?